Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of September 1st, 2015. Yes. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well. Very well. So, D.R., here in Massachusetts, which is, of course, the hub of the universe, right? Mm-hmm. Everything revolves around Massachusetts. Massachusetts is currently being, is proposed that it be crisscrossed with new natural gas pipelines, right? Mm-hmm. So can you give me a sort of a brief overview of what the names are and where those pipelines run? Because it's very confusing. And there's lots of names, and people need to be ready to sort of handle the ambiguity of the exactly what everybody's talking about, right?
Yes, there are all sorts of unusual names for the two pipelines, but the two ones in contention are the Algonquin Pipeline Network, which is being backed by Spectra Energy.
So the company is Spectra, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's another pipeline that has a number of different names, but it's being backed by the company Kinder Morgan. And so those are the two that have become the most controversial.
And the Spectra pipeline runs more or less across the southern part of Massachusetts, right, through Connecticut, Rhode Island, and terminates somewhere south of Boston, right?
Yes, yes. And the other pipeline, the Kinder Morgan pipeline, which is technically known as the most common name is Northeast Energy Direct. According to the Springfield Republican newspaper, it would cross several Massachusetts towns, including Warwick, Dracut, and Hancock, Massachusetts, and it would carry up to 1.3 cubic feet of gas from the Marcellus Shale region of Pennsylvania. So these are the two pipelines that a lot of activists have basically said, you know, we don't want any part of it. We don't need the natural gas. It's not for us. It's going to be ultimately exported. And that this is something that we have to move away from natural gas and other fossil fuels, not build more fossil fuel infrastructure, basically.
So we've got these two pipelines that are in proposal. The one in the southern half of the state, full disclosure, goes through my neck of the woods, right? And mm-hmm. the other one, the Kinder Morgan pipeline in the northern part of the state, has experienced so much opposition already that they've rerouted parts of it through New Hampshire.
Exactly.
But still in all, these big companies are very determined to override the puny little weak local opposition, which of course mm-hmm. is not so puny and weak, but they expect to steamroll these people. Mm-hmm. And build these natural gas pipelines through people's towns. So, DR, you alluded to some of the issues, but let me reprise, I think, what you were trying to say. These natural gas pipelines are going to carry a huge amount of natural gas.
Yep.
And, of course, gas pipelines will leak. Mm-hmm. And they also they leak, right? Leaking gas isn't good, right?
Exactly.
There are potential for explosions of gas pipelines in local communities, mm-hmm. Which, you know, and of course that's particularly particularly strange thing for people who abut these things. Now, typically, at least around here, and maybe this is familiar in other parts of the country, but you'll see high power lines go along, you know, the big high tension lines, and mm-hmm. underneath those is a right of way for the gas lines to go on, to accompany those things. Mm-hmm. People abut those kinds of, people's houses are up against those structures. And so oftentimes to put in new pipelines, they need eminent domain taking of people's personal property so they can put gas lines in their backyard. Mm-hmm. I think one of the interesting questions about the explosion hazard is the following. When they put in one of these big pipes, I think the pipe, at least one of the pipes, is something like 3 feet in diameter. Okay. And what they do is they put a valve in every, I don't know, 5 miles or so. Okay. So if there's an explosion, you have a pipeline 3 feet in diameter and 5 miles long full of high pressure gas that has to burn off. Right, because there's nothing to do about it. They can close the valve 5 miles away from here, but all that other gas is going to burn up. So there's
Exactly.
a real and incredible potential for damaging explosions. And the people who are working against the pipelines have statistics, but it's not inconsequential that these things. And the second thing, DR, is probably the leaks causing climate change, right? Tell me
Exactly.
what's the story about the leaking natural gas and climate?
There was a great report by David Abel in the Boston Globe on August 21st, noting that the state's natural gas pipeline infrastructure have it basically has about 20,000 potentially dangerous, environmentally damaging leaks. Some of them are as long as decades old. There are a lot of these leaks occurring in the southern portion of Massachusetts in towns such as Cohasset. There's one leak that is actually a quarter century old. And these leaks not only, cause property damage, they also leak methane, which is a more intense heat-trapping gas than CO2. So basically, these leaks cause property damage, climate damage, and basically, damage to the health and the safety of people in Massachusetts. So it's you ask yourself, why would these guys want to try to build new pipeline infrastructure when they won't fix the damn old pipeline infrastructure?
Well, and I think it's an important point, just to be very clear, is that the greenhouse intensity, in quotation marks, in air quotes, right? The ability of methane to trap gas is way to trap heat is much more than CO2. So even though these leaks, I mean, if you do the thought experiment and compare all of the exhaust coming out of people's cars and all the smoke coming out of smokestacks, it seems like these leaks, even if it's been a leaking for 25 years, has to be a small amount of material compared to all the carbon dioxide that comes out of exhaust pipes. But because the methane is so much more potent, it doesn't take a lot of that methane leakage to begin to rival the climate impact of all the carbon dioxide. And that's why people are worried about the leaks from a climate perspective, right?
And incidentally, we discussed recently some of the lawsuits occurring around the country and lawsuits against the Obama administration for not taking action on climate change. You do wonder if there will inevitably be legal action against some of these natural gas companies for not fixing the leaks and thus causing more global warming and more methane pollution as a result of their failure to fix the leaks. Because basically, it's kind of obvious that they bear responsibility for not maintaining their own infrastructure.
Well, I think these guys may be exposing themselves to lawsuits down, because it's not like we all don't know and everyone isn't talking about these risks. But let me ask, so let me go back to a different question that you raised, DR. You said, why would someone build such a gigantic pipeline, right? And one of the arguments that the industry has made is that Massachusetts needs this natural gas in order to keep thriving as an economy, right? We're all going to freeze in the dark unless we build these pipelines. I guess I'd submit that that is simply false, because we don't need that gas, and all of these calculations that say we need the gas basically ignore the potential of renewable energies. Right, so if you ignore wind and solar, yeah, okay, yeah, of course we need more gas because something's going to happen, so we're going to grow. But I think the more important question is, and again, I think you touched on it, there's so much gas that's going to come through these pipelines. We could all be turn all four burners on the stove and turn the heat up in the house to 90 degrees. We still couldn't consume it all. Right? If everybody in
Exactly.
Massachusetts burned all the natural gas they could. The real reason they want to build these big pipelines is, DR, I'll let you say it. Wait for it.
Money.
Well, no, they want to export it. Exactly. These
Exactly.
guys, so one of the pipelines, we said that the pipelines have many funny names, right? They're all different kind of, and I don't know if it's deliberate, but one of these pipelines is called the Atlantic Bridge. Right, and I think it's connected to this one, the Spectra pipeline through the southern part of the state, goes to Cohasset, which is south of Boston. You can look it up on a map. then it's going to go underneath Boston Harbor in a pipeline, connect up to another pipeline north of Boston, right? Again, get your Google map out, and then the pipeline is going to run up into New Brunswick, Canada. So basically, the Atlantic Bridge is the bridge from the United States to Europe to get natural gas exported from Boston over to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I would submit that once we start exporting that natural gas, everybody here in Massachusetts is going to pay more for it because now we're competing with the people in the Ukraine for that natural gas.
Well, that's why they call natural gas a bridge fuel, don't you know?
I mean, yeah, it's so.
And it's interesting, that this news occurs right on the heels of an announcement by a new group known as the New England Coalition for Affordable Energy, calling for more natural gas pipelines. And if you go on the website of the New England Coalition for Affordable Energy, the coalition was put together by the American Petroleum Institute and America's Natural Gas Alliance. To
quote
the latter's advertising, think about it.
Yeah, I mean, so there's all these, from my perspective, all these unhappy aspects of these pipelines. But maybe the kicker, or the most upsetting element of the pipeline proposals, is that in addition to going through people's backyards, putting risk in people's backyards, exporting the fuel so they can sell it at higher cost in other places, emitting greenhouse gas, potent greenhouse gases, on top of it all, the Spectra Energy expects the electricity ratepayers in Massachusetts to pay for the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
That there will be a surcharge on your electricity bill to pay for the natural building this pipeline that's going to bring natural gas to your electric power plant. And basically all electric ratepayers are going to buy this pipeline for Spectra so that they can export the gas over to Europe. And it's just incredibly unfair. I mean,
it's basically taxation without representation.
It's essentially taxation without representation. For me, it's the kicker. I mean, on top of all the other unhappy things that are proposed here, on top of that, we ratepayers get to pay for it. So anyway, DR, let's just summarize. We've been kind of around the lot here. There's lots of stuff going on for pipelines in New England, but there are two pipelines coming across the state. One's across the northern part of the state. One's across the southern part of the state. They represent a hazard to the towns they go through. They represent a greenhouse gas global warming threat because they're leaking methane and because they're building infrastructure that's going to be around for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
The gas that's going through those pipelines is very likely slated for export, which means you're now in competition with a global market for your gas price here in Massachusetts and New England. And to top it all off, you get to pay for those pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, all in all, it's a bad deal.
I guess you can say that natural gas is causing a man-made disaster.
Right. Absolutely. So I guess we got to leave it there, DR. Let me remind our listeners that we'll try and put up links to as many of the articles that we referred to as we can. There's a lot of them, but start Googling it, right? Algonquin Pipeline, New Northeast Direct, Spectra Energy, Morgan Kinder. You'll find stuff. Trust me. There's a No Fracked Gas in Mass is, I think, one of the websites so you can find it. You can check out most of those links at our blog. It's massclimateaction.net/blog. You can see us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can listen to us on Stitcher. You can listen to us on TuneIn Radio. You can listen to us on Podbean. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us all over the place. Please tell your friends about us so the more people that listen, the better we hope the world will be. So we'll close the way we always close the R by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.